Good evening. And first of all, to all of our veterans, I want to thank you on this Memorial Day weekend. Thank you for the sacrifice that you gave. And I meet veterans sometimes and say, well, I wasn't on the front lines. And I said, that does matter because you did what you had to do. And part of being in the Army of God is doing what you have to do. Everybody can't be a preacher. Everybody can't do music ministry. But everybody has a job in the Army to do. And thank you all for all that you do to keep us safe so we can still be here praising God in this glorious country. Amen.
Amen.
So a Christian and an evangelist were having a discussion about evolution. And the Christian, of course, was speaking about how God did what God did. And then Luke Adams says, look, I've never seen God, therefore I don't believe he exists. Hmm. And Chris says, tell me, when did you see evolution? It's interesting how people have all kinds of different arguments that just don't make sense sometimes. Okay. We're going to continue on our Defeating the God of Mammon series. And this is part is called Be a Victor, Not a Victim. And let's talk about what is a victim. You see your definitions on section one there. A victim is a person harmed, injured, or killed. A person tricked or duped. And number three is really interesting to me. A person killed as a religious sacrifice. Not very good to be a victim, is it? Okay. I like the verses that come behind that. Number B, the wicked waits to ambush the victims. He, the wicked, waits in ambush near the hidden villages. He kills the innocent. His eyes look for some unfortunate victim. And that's in the New English Translation, Psalm 10:8. The victim is crushed. He sinks down. The helpless fall by their might. That's Psalms 10:10, the International Standard Version. And if it's not listed down there, it's the New King James, just to let you know. And 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that's what the devil does to us. He's trying to devour us. He's trying to make us victims. He's trying to push us down so far. And look at where the United States is today. You know, a famous TV talk show host won't allow Christian singers on her show. Vice President Pence said that he prays and Jesus tells him what to do. And another TV talk show host mocked the president saying that when Jesus talks to you, it's called mental illness. The Boy Scouts can only be called the Boy Scouts. Now they're called the Scouts. Because they have girls going to be allowed in the Boy Scouts. And I was talking to a gentleman who's pretty high up in the Boy Scout ranks. I said, well, do you really want that? He says, well, they're going to be separated. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, what happened when that 17-year-old boy decides he wants to put on a skirt and be a Girl Scout for that night? What are you going to do? He didn't have an answer for that because, you know, it's a serious problem. And with all due respect to the Mormons, they pulled away from the Boy Scouts because of this. They will not allow people to go. They broke a 100-year-old tradition of being with that group because this is wrong. And the problem is, Christians aren't doing anything about it. We're called haters if we consider homosexuality a sin. You know. But the media will say nothing about Muslims who behead homosexuals. The attack is against Christians. It's not against anybody else, no matter how bad they are. Christians are becoming victims. And they are passively allowing this to happen to them. Why are some Christians not sober or vigilant, allowing themselves to be victims of the devil? Christians have been beaten down for too long. You know, when I discuss these current challenges, I often hear the word, well, you know, the prophecies must be fulfilled. And that to me is like when somebody walks up to somebody and says, you know, you can't do that. Yes, the prophecy must be fulfilled. I understand that. But I don't think anything I'm going to do is going to change the prophecies of the Lord. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says, put your head in the sand and wait until the prophecies are fulfilled. I don't see that. And when person A tells person B, you can't do that, what the person is really saying is, person B can't do that. Therefore, I don't want person A to do that because it'll make person B look bad because he hasn't done it. Okay? I love when somebody tells me I can't do it. I smile. I don't agree with them. I just smile, acknowledge it. Ask the Holy Spirit what to do, and then I do it. Because nothing is impossible with God.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Now, the best way to learn about being a victim instead of a victim is to look at the people in the Bible. Now, David was definitely a victor when he killed the giant Goliath. And the boys tell him he couldn't do that. He was too young. He was too small. He didn't know how to fight. He couldn't do it. And David said, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. It's 1 Samuel 17, 45 to 46. David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. Now the point is here, David didn't say, I'm going to kick you. He didn't say that. He said, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. What challenge are you facing that the Lord needs to deliver into your hand? Not that you're going to do it on your own, but that the Lord can deliver into your hand. Okay? It did not matter that David did not know Goliath's strength. David knew the strength of his God, and that's all that mattered. Do you know the strength of your God? Think about the victories you've had because God blessed you. Okay? Think about the places he's pulled you out of that were terrible because of his strength. Sometimes you didn't even know he was there. Sometimes you weren't even saved, but he was still there on your side doing his part. It does not matter what the enemy says out there. Know the strength of your God. Okay? Samson was a victor when he was obedient to God, to his supernatural strength killed a thousand of his enemies. The Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. Now, a jawbone of a donkey is about the length from an elbow to the fingertips. That's about how big that is for a club. It's not a very big weapon against 1,000 armed soldiers. But it didn't matter. Because the anointing of God was on Samson. It did not matter he was outnumbered. He had no fear. He knew he would be victorious because he knew what was inside of him. He knew his strength that God had given him. Okay? Now, here's where most of us make the mistakes. Samson sinned. Samson became a victim when he disobeyed God and lost his supernatural strength, which caused him to be captured by the enemies because of Delilah. Okay? So the enemies victimized Christians by discovering their weaknesses. Okay? We have weaknesses. We do. And they discover them, and they push them. And the devil will use that against you. Oh, remember 10 years ago when you made that mistake? Oh, remember when you hurt that person, when you're rude to that person? And I don't care what it is you've done. We've all made the mistakes. It doesn't matter. Satan will bring that back up to your eyes every single time because he knows that's where you're weak. Okay? Great. In Judges 16:6, so Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies with what you may be bound to afflict you. Now, it's always impressed me that she told him what she was going to do, and he did anyway. I'm like, come on, Samson. Give me a break, will you? Now, in fairness, he lied to her three times. The fourth time, he finally told her the truth, okay? He was playing cat and mouse or something. I don't know, but the bottom line is, she forewarned him what she was going to do to him. It didn't matter. Satan's telling every one of us what Satan boasts what he's going to do. He always does. Okay? You know the challenges lie before you. Many of us, myself included, when I was in the world and I was going to sin, I knew it was wrong. Did it anyway. Thank God I have a forgiving Jesus that took my sins away and I can repent of all that.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
But the bottom line is, we know we're doing wrong. We must be vigilant at all times. So he told her and said to her, "No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I will become weak like any other man." Now this is a very important phrase. Samson is saying, Samson will become weak as any other man. He wasn't like any other man. He was anointed with God. We are anointed with God. It is our job to walk in that anointing and not be as the world. The world wants us to be as them. Now, what's wrong with you? You're a holy roller? What's the matter? You can't take a dirty joke? What's the matter? It doesn't matter. They want us to do that. The media is horrendous at that. You mean it's horrendous? They'll put on a gay pride parade with people doing acts that would get anybody else arrested. But that's okay, because they're not Christians. I just learned this today. I was surprised by this. Stormy Daniels, the prostitute, the whore, was given the key to the city of West Hollywood as an honor. Now, come on. This is ridiculous. But that's what the world is. What is wrong is right. What is right is wrong. It is unbelievable. But the bottom line is, there's no outrage about it. Christians aren't saying, this is ridiculous. We got to stop this. There is none of that. They're being victimized. They're being pushed into their little holes, back in their little corners. Okay? We cannot be weak like the world. We must be stronger than that. No matter what the temptations come before us, no matter what the challenges, no matter what the issues, we have our God with us. We cannot allow us to be weak like the world. Okay? To be a victor, we must be staying in God's anointing. Do not lose our strength or the anointing like Samson when he allowed himself to become a victim. We must stay in the anointing continually to be a victor, having victory over all of our challenges. We must protect our anointing. Our strength will be maintained by saturating ourselves in that anointing. Battles are won when you're under the anointing. Samson thought he was nothing. Samson thought there was nothing the enemy could do to him as long as he kept his hair long. He should have kept a helmet on. You know, if you have something that God has given you, you're going to protect that with everything you've got. You know. Superman tried to stay as far away from kryptonite as he could, because when kryptonite was around him, he was as weak as any other man. Okay? Keep that devil away from us. Stay in the anointing. We are not as weak as any other man. He should have protected his anointing, but he did not. He believed without his long hair, he would be as weak as any other man. The truth is, it was God's power on him, God's anointing that strengthened him, not the length of his hair. Proverbs 27:1 says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Samson cursed himself by speaking those words of becoming weak if his hair was cut. Now, we talk often at ABC about the power of our words. And as you read through the Bible, the more that I've been studying with ABC's teachings here, I see how people have done things like Samson did and cursed themselves. Now, when David went up against Goliath, he said nothing weak about himself. He says, "I've killed the lion and I've killed the bear, and my God was with me. I can defeat this uncircumcised Philistine," because he knew his God was with him. He didn't say anything about the fact that he was small or whatever. He says, "I can do this." Now, personally, I don't think he knew going into battle what he was going to do. I just think he knew that God was on his side. And when the mail didn't fit him and the sword was too big for him, he just went out with what he knew. You've all been given some talent that you know. that God will use right now today to win your victory, to win your battle. David knew how to use a sling. Why? He was a shepherd boy. He was in the fields all day long. It's pretty boring out there. He had a lot of times to practice that sling, how to hit different things, how far to hit it, how to be precise with it. Now, the stones used in those kind of slings were about the size of a modern-day baseball. And they could throw them at 90 miles an hour. They were an awesome weapon if you knew how to use one. Mm. David knew how to use one. What is your weapon? What is your weapon against the enemy? The best answer is the Word of God. Mm. He cannot stand up against the Word of God. Now, we stay in the anointing daily, for it's vital to maintain your victory. Now, Victor, we confess our sins frequently during the day. We talked about this a lot, especially if we've gone through the healing schools and the School of Dominion, to RRB continuously. If any of you don't know what that is, I suggest you go through the schools. We confess our sins, for He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So if we're a cleansed vessel, what Satan says to us can't hurt us. Okay? The mistakes I made a while back are in the sea of forgetfulness. Okay? In fact, there's a story about this lady. She was verbally abused by her parents growing up. Told she'd amount to nothing. She was no good. She was disgusting, you know? And she married a very, very wonderful man, had two wonderful children, but she was just an introvert and just challenged person. And one day, while driving, somebody ran a stoplight and hit her car. And she was given amnesia. She knew nothing. So the husband and children were there. She didn't know them, didn't recognize them. From that day forward, she never learned what happened in her past. But she got the love of her husband, the love of her children, the attention of the doctors and nurses. She became a prominent speaker, full of self-confidence, and able to do amazing things. Why? Because she forgot her past. Can I lay hands on anybody for specific amnesia today? Okay. It didn't matter what somebody had said to her 10 years ago. She didn't remember it. Doesn't matter to me. Okay. Your sins are in the seal of forgetfulness. Every mistake we ever made is in the seal of forgetfulness. Put that in the amnesia side. Let it go. It doesn't belong there. Mm. Only as an educational tool to train somebody else or help somebody else. Never to be allowed as a weapon against ourselves. It doesn't matter. Now, for those of you who haven't heard this story before, I think it was Timothy Dahmer was a mass murderer. Very disgusting person. Obviously very demonized. Okay. In prison, he found the Lord. And he made a statement, mankind will never forgive me, but I hope my Lord in heaven does. He's in heaven today. He received his forgiveness. Okay. None of you have committed mass murder, I'm sure. Whatever the devil's pointing at you, get rid of it. It doesn't belong there. Okay. So, 3, repent, renounce, break curses every time you sin. When you make a mistake, repent, renounce, and break the curse on it. Okay? Get into that habit. Make it a regular habit. Okay? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 3:2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking the craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but manifesting the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Okay? C. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Let's stand on that one for a minute. We're redeemed. You're pardoned. More than the president's pardon, you've got a godly pardon for everything you've ever done wrong. Doesn't matter. If a president pardons you, nobody can arrest you again. You're pardoned. Okay? I don't care what's happened in your past. You're forgiven. You're pardoned. Okay? Christ has renewed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Okay, we're free. We are completely, totally 100% free from all those issues and challenges before. Okay? Next thing we do is we pray in tongues every day. You know, Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. Okay? I'm trying to do an hour a day. I have an advantage. I drive an hour on the freeway, so it's usually I can get it in. It's amazing what I hear from the Lord when I'm doing that. When you're praying in tongues, the devil can't attack you. It's you and God communicating. You are hearing from God. You are talking to God, specifically directly to Him, in a secret code that only you and He know. You may not even understand what you're saying, and that's fine, because He does. Mm. He knows how to transmit to you through that, and that's all that matters. Okay. B, but he who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, praise and worship keeps us in the anointing. You felt the anointing today in here. We went through wonderful praise and worship. Okay? Everybody here has got some type of media that they can play praise and worship for 15 minutes before you do anything. I try to do it before I go out the door. Just sit down for 15 minutes, play praise and worship, and just praise to my Lord and set up my day. Okay? But you, God, are holy, you who inhabit the praises of Israel. You often heard the translation, God inhabits the praises of his people. This is the verse where that comes from. Okay, that's in the World English Bible. Now, as we've often talked here at ABC, Mark 11, 22 to 24, believe you already received your victory before you see it. Do you think David saw his victory over Goliath before he did it? I think he had a vision of himself standing on top of Goliath, finishing the job. I fully believe he saw that in his mind's eye. Okay? I believe when Samson was doing his things he was doing, he saw victory in those things when he was using his strength. Okay? And Jesus replied to them, have faith in God consistently. Truly, I tell you, whoever says this mountain be lifted up and thrown into the sea, but does not doubt in all of his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. What is your mountain? Now, I talked to some people, it's interesting, they don't know what their mountain is. Take time and inquire of God, what is my biggest challenge? Because some people don't know it. They're so used, they're so comfortable with it, they don't even realize it. You know? For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. Number 7, fight the good fight of faith. Hold on eternal life to which you were also called, having confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. 1 Timothy 6:12. Going back to what I said before, I don't see we're supposed to just sit around and wait for Jesus to come. I think we're supposed to do whatever we can do to prepare for his coming. And we're going to fight the good fight of faith. And that means when you see something, we're going to have to do something about it. There's a law going through the House, it's now in the Senate of Congress, that basically says that nobody's allowed to charge for doing counsel with somebody who is a transvestite or homosexual about their sexuality challenges. Okay? Take it to an extreme degree, you can't show somebody a Bible verse that says homosexuality is a sin under that law. Okay? It can go that far that they can't sell the book because that would be taking money for something that goes against us. Okay? If a Christian counselor is talking to somebody and takes an offering, he would then have broken that law. They're very sneaky how they're trying to get this in. Well, you can't take money for it, but that's just a trick of the devil. The bottom line is this is set up to trap Christians. Now, I have friends that are homosexual, and I pray for them. I love them. I hate their sin. They know where I stand. But I know at least one person that has broken that sin off of his life. It was a lot of prayer and a lot of work, and he wanted to do it, but God did it for him. I met other people who told me that, but I don't know well enough to confess that that's true, but I know this one person for a fact. Okay? We must pray against this law getting passed and signed. If it gets to the Senate, I doubt seriously that our governor would not sign this law with his challenging issues that he deals with. But when we see them wrong, we have to do something about it. Not just say, oh, well, the prophecies have to be fulfilled. No. Lord, I want this law stopped in the name of Jesus. Lord, I want to push this law back in the name of Jesus. Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know that through all things, you can do everything. And we stand here as a group of Christians believing that this law will not pass in Jesus' name. Number 8, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, too many people, Christians included, are just comfortable the way things are. They don't want to resist. I work in a very unique office that I'm allowed to speak my mind. Okay? I do it respectfully. Okay? And they don't mind that. But for example, when Hugh Hefner died, and the guys were bragging about Hugh Hefner's lifestyle and so forth like that, and in the world he had the lifestyle that most men worldly would want. You know, lots of beautiful women, parties, a life of decadence and so forth. And I politely said, yes, but where is he now? And everybody was silent. And I planted a seed. And they thought about it. Okay. Now, would you agree with me that we're stronger in our faith when we're with the anointing on us? The key is we have to stay in the anointing. Okay? And when our faith is strong, we expect victory, right? I remember Oral Roberts wrote a book, Expect a Miracle. You got to expect your victories. You know, I expect because we prayed tonight that that bill will not go through the Senate. Okay? I expect it. Okay? Realize with God, there is nothing we'll face that we cannot overcome. There is nothing we cannot overcome with God. He will not put any challenges in front of us that we cannot overcome. Okay? 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation is overtaking you except as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. Temptation will also make the way of escape that you're able to bear it. Okay? No matter what traps the enemy throws at you, God will show you a way out. Okay? Number 10, affirm the Word of God constantly helps you stay in the anointing. A, this is faithful saying these things. I will affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Sunday, Pastor Josh was talking about making sure that you know how strong your words are, because every word you say will come to pass. Be careful how you phrase them. Be careful how you say things, okay? Because your words are the words of the Lord. God has given us the power of the words. His word is the strongest thing in the universe, okay? Joshua 1:8. And the Amplified, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but Joshua, you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall deal wisely and have good success. Okay? As you speak the word of God over your life, as you speak the word of God out of your mouth, you are constantly sending out a beacon to all the demons around you, and they don't like it. You're also constantly reinforcing yourself to your belief, to your heart. What is going on? As you speak it, you hear it. As you hear it, you believe it. And this goes on continuously. So you speak it out of your mouth, out loud. Word of God. Powerful. Strength. That you can do anything through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. The word goes on and on. And every time you say it, you believe it more. But what's important is not only do you believe in your head, but you believe in your heart. As your heart starts to really receive something, you know that you know that you know that you are invincible. You cannot be stopped. Why? Because you are in the anointing and God is with you. And he will show you a way, in any way, to do something. Okay? See, a good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth good, and evil man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth evil. By the abundance of his heart, the mouth speaks. Now, Reagan was a great communicator. He spoke very well and motivated the people of the United States. Hitler was also a great communicator. He was unbelievable in his ability to motivate and do what he did. But he, of course, spoke evil. He wrote evil in Mein Kampf. In fact, a friend of mine works at the Skirball Center down here, the Jewish Center down here. They were actually given an original copy of Mein Kampf for their archives. The rabbi didn't read German, but he picked up the books, This Most Evil Thing I've Ever Seen, and they burnt it. Because he didn't want that in his place. But it was words spoken by Hitler. It was evil words. So the power of the mouth is there, good or bad. Choose death, choose life. Hitler chose death. We must choose life. Okay? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of us spring the issues of life. You tell us we speak God's words, not negative words. Always be edifying in everything you do. Even if you're correcting somebody, do it in an edifying way. Okay? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat of its fruit. Now, men, this one's very important for you. A gentle tongue with healing power, tree of life. Willful contrariness, it breaks down the spirit. I like Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath. So when the women are a little bit upset, just be gentle with them and talk nice. And it tends to calm things down. Okay. Renew your mind with God's word daily. Are you reading the word daily? I don't care if it's one paragraph. Read something of God's daily. Okay. Do not be conformed to this world. So we're talking about here with the West Hollywood. Fashion after and adapt to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, that you may prove for yourself what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable, perfect in His sight for you. Okay? As we've been working on this, you will see things differently. You will spot things that before didn't bother you that will start to bother you now. You'll notice things ahead of time because your mind is renewed to the mind of Christ. If you have the mind of Christ, you will be observant of things and be able to avoid things that are going to cause problems and issues, or be able to do something about problems and issues in your life. Okay. 14, walk in forgiveness. I can't say enough about this one. And when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. Jesus proved that on the cross. He forgave everybody. We must forgive anybody that's offended us in any way, shape, or form, anybody that's hurt us in any way, shape, or form. And I know some people had some terrible things done to them. But you must walk in forgiveness. Because God will not forgive you if you don't forgive them. We've gone through a gazillion examples here in the church before that, but just understand, we must walk in forgiveness. So what you've got here is a list of things to do that will help keep you in the anointing. Walk in forgiveness, praise and worship, repent in your sins regularly, continuously. I know Pastor Josh tries to do it every 15 minutes. If you have unknown sins, repent of any unknown sins you may have. Okay? And as you do this, the anointing stays on you. As the anointing stays on you, your spiritual strength strengthens. Your heart belief muscles strengthen, and you become invincible. You are not as any other man. You are as a Christian, standing tall, walking with honor, the ability to do things other people can't do. Okay? I'm going to challenge you for 21 days to do these 14 points every day. It is a lot of work. But on this Memorial Day, if you were going to the military and the drill instructor had you do X number of push-ups and walk X number of miles, do whatever, you would do it because you're getting ready for the battle that's coming. Set yourself out some time, put it in your schedule, try this for 21 days, and then tell me the change in your life. Tell me the victories that you have breaking through. I want to hear these testimonies because they're there for all of us. Now let's talk about what a victor is. For Samson went from being a victor to a victim at the end, became a victor again by defeating all of his enemies. Now the good news is we don't have to die like Samson did, okay? We can win. We become a victor in every area of our life. We stay in the anointing every day for 21 days to launch our victories. Now these are four verses on being victorious. These are all in the HCSB Bible. The one who is victorious keeps my works to the end, and I will give him authority over the nation. So if you're victorious, you have authority over all kinds of situations. Authority over your situations in your workplace, authority over your situations wherever you go. Okay. Anyone who has an ear to hear should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. The victor will never be harmed by the second death. If you're victorious, you will not be harmed by the second death. You've heard Pastor Josh talk about that during the Revelation series. You've got to be a victor not to be harmed by the second death. Okay. The victor, I will give him the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I also won the victory and sat down with my Father on his throne. Jesus is promising you right there that if you are a victor, you will sit with him on the throne. That's pretty cool in my book. I like that. And number 7, the victor, he who overcomes will inherit these things. I will be his God, and he will be my son. I don't want you to look at these exercises with a drudgery. I want you to look at them as a challenge. The devil's going to try to tell you you can't do this. He doesn't want you to do this. He doesn't want you that strong. He doesn't want all the people in this room, all the people on the internet, getting to be the strongest Samson against him. Even stronger, because we have the anointing inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit with us 24/7. It doesn't come and go. It's with us all the time. He's going to tempt you. He's going to tease you. He's going to put obstacles in your path. But that's okay. We know what he's going to do. Do this for 21 days. Develop the habit. See how quickly you improve in every area of your life. It is time for Christians to be victorious again. I'm tired of seeing people pushed around, taken advantage of. That a kid in school can't take his Bible, but some other kid can wear a satanic t-shirt. I'm tired of the challenges coming on this country because nobody does anything about it. And I'm not saying everybody gets out and march or do anything like that. I'm saying that we need to start really praying about these issues and taking a prayerful fight against the spirits and principalities and power that we're really fighting against, and not just let them run over us just because we're outnumbered. Because it doesn't matter. Getting at 300 people, he'd be an entire army. It doesn't matter. We have God on our side. And if we have God on our side, we're invincible. And we've got to fight. We'll be victors and not victims. And I'm going to encourage every one of us here to take that charge right now for the rest of your life to be a victor and no more victimization. And when the attacks come, you'll know what to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.